Three, Director's Report.
Chair Carpenter, so as usual, you have a more extensive written report in your materials. I'll just touch on some highlights today. Starting off with, we had a legislative or a congressional trip, I guess, last to D.C. last week. Seems like a long time ago. Went with Megan West, our congressional coordinator, and Nate Pamplin. Super impressed, continue to be super impressed by our staff. Megan, well, both did a great job. Megan walks in the door and the congressional staffers all run up and hug her on virtually every office we went to. So the idea that we have an open door and open communication channel to Congress is very, very accurate. We managed to meet with leaders from NOAA Fisheries, Chris Oliver, Donna Whiting. And we also met with leadership from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Gary Frazier, and Margaret Everson. So those were great discussions, able to push the issues we obviously talked about, salmon and orca, and NOAA's position on our Pacific salmon efforts. We talked about wolves, grizzlies with Fish and Wildlife Service. I think we're in good standing with both of those, and so those are very valuable. We also managed to meet with both Senators Murray and Cantwell, a bit short meeting, but very productive. And then we met with seven House of Representative members. And I think largely because of Megan's work, the meetings were with congressional members themselves, not with staff. We were able to push our they're going into their budgeting, obviously, so we were able to push our budget request to make sure that they were there. They were very receptive to that. Key issues, obviously, Mitchell Act, Pacific Salmon Recovery, PacSurf, Puget Sound, Nearshore Estuary Restoration Program, RAWA. So we hit on all of them, depending on their particular interests, and it was incredibly receptive. So I think it was a very productive trip. I don't yet know quite how to quantify how productive those are, because you really don't know for a while. Especially for me, it was my first trip to D.C., so it was sort of kind of Forrest Gump in D.C., but I think we made good progress and have those open-door relationships with those congressionals and very supportive of the agency.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Where is RAWA at this point?
It has not been reintroduced. We also, I skipped it, but we had a good meeting with Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies at the end. Into the trip, they got some great facilities there. So if we're ever, if any of you are back there, they have a great opportunity to have offices close and opportunities. Jen Mock Schaefer is their lead, and she's pushing it hard. The big issues, because we were so close before, but there's some concerns around how it's funding and whether or not we really want oil and gas proceeds going into that fund, or by we, I say the Congress. So understanding from Ron Reagan and Jen that they think they've got those issues ironed out and are hoping for a reintroduction soon. So we're still hopeful, and the dollar amounts were going to be about the same. So true game changer for us, especially for non-game species. It's a non-game changer. The questions on DC. So I also want to, Carrie was out there. We talked about Carrie earlier, but our website redesign was launched about a week and a half ago. Remarkably few problems from my perspective compared to what I've seen happen elsewhere. So I think it's a much more approachable website. We were on the road while I was in, what a difference. I could maneuver my way around. I think it's a great improvement. I think it helps open that door for communication so we can be a little more accessible and responsive to the public. I also wanted to follow up a little bit. One of the issues we heard about in Spokane were a desire to have hunts for terminally ill folks, number of testimonies on that. I just wanted to follow up that we did issue last year 10 permits for terminally ill hunters, 5 for moose, 5 for elk. The moose hunters were all successful. 3 of the elk hunters were. We'll continue to work with the organizations that are promoting that. We think it's a great tool. I just wanted to make sure you realize are aware of that we are embracing it and are actually effectively putting out those permits and working with folks. Another happy note, I think, for everybody is Buttons is alive and well and in the Woodland Park Zoo. So Buttons is our elk that was habituated, that we tried to get back out on the ground to hang out with elk, but like people more than elk, and we really couldn't break that habit. And unfortunately, and fortunately, we're able to work with Woodland Park Zoo to give her a new home. We're trying to use it also as an opportunity to message to folks that you're harming these, you're loving these animals to death in some cases, that it's really, really leave the animals alone, let them be wild animals, and it's creates problems when we habituate animals, and vast majority of the time we don't have the opportunity to find a home like we did in this case. So great educational opportunity and a great outcome, and I got to say it was a ton of work for our staff, really dedicated. It wouldn't have happened without a real effort there. Can't afford to do that every time, but boy, I applaud the staff. You cannot get better performance than this, because they knew the value of saving that animal.
Mr. Thorburn.
I can make a comment. I have had the pleasure, actually, of for a number of years being a community reviewer of grants for our rehabber community, and we just went through a process of updating those rules, and I'm looking at grant applications right now, and I just every year I get the sense that becomes more and more professional, and I just want to kind of shout out a recognition that they worked really well with our staff on the rule revisions. Our rules are now, you know, at a higher professional level. I feel like I just want to shout out that they're really important partners in communicating about public relations with wildlife, and it just acknowledge, because we've had a lot of attention on that community, the rehabbers community, and our relationship with them. And I just want to acknowledge that I think our partnership has been strengthened, and that they're very important for situations like Buttons.
Yeah, we had great support from the rehab community. We've got a number of these issues going on. Again, please leave the animals alone. Yeah. But we have them in deer situations as well. And the rehabbers have really stepped up and been willing to go above and beyond certainly beyond what makes financial sense for them to help us. And then Scott McCorkadale was our staff on Buttons in particular that went above and beyond. So thank you to him, and thank you to all the rehabbers out there. North of Falcon touched on probably the biggest issue already, the CHUM issue. We haven't really got much progress on other fronts because of that. Frankly, that's been the focus. So hopefully we'll get there. We had our second, North of Falcon 2 public meeting this week. I know folks were a little bit disappointed, folks being constituents, because we were not able to get into the detail, and that's because the CHUM has taken up so much of the time that we really haven't got to the model runs on Chinook and Coho, which is where we get most of our interest. The good news is Chinook populations or projected return sizes are comparable. I would be careful because every run is different, coast versus sound, but in general we're in the same ballpark as before, a little lower. We have really healthy coho runs. That the challenge will be preserving enough impacts on Chinook to access all the coho. That's what we're starting to work with the tribes on right now, but we haven't got as far in that as we want, so we will work diligently at PFMC next week. We go down Tuesday for a week down there to wrap things up. We are working hard to live stream as much of this effort as we can. We will continue to work on making sure communications occur next week. We have our advisory committees scheduled for conference calls throughout, because we just haven't been able to provide the level of information we want. I think we've done good on being transparent, but we don't have a lot to be transparent about yet is the challenge. So we're committed to continuing with that. And as hard as it is, I'm optimistic we're going to get through it. And I think we do have, hopefully we'll improve things in the future as we get Chinook management plans finalized and we get a CHUM management effort, you know, comprehensive plan, so that we can get out of this year-to-year effort that is makes it more difficult, and it makes it more of a really a adversarial negotiation because you don't have that big target out there. So overall, it's been quite an enlightening experience, but I remain positive that we're going to come out with a really good outcome for folks, as best we can, given the situation. We had a plenary session. I know, folks, it's unfortunate we can't give information, but the plenary session, I think we're getting a lot of traction on the idea that we really need to start putting as much energy into not seeing the last fish as so much energy into how do we divide up the last fish. And I think we're on the path to do that. Legislatively, it'll be the last thing I touch on today, is I believe the 82nd day of 105 legislation. It feels like 82nd month of 105 day legislation. It's been a very tough session this year. First session I've been in this role, obviously, but I spent a lot of time down there, and it feels it's pretty tense down there. The biggest issue for us right now remaining, I'll just stick mostly on budget. The budgets in both chambers assume passing new revenue. So it's capital gains tax and real estate excise tax. So everything after that is how we spend that money. I'm really concerned about, are those realistic revenue sources? And that could change the whole picture of how this rolls out. The good news is our budgets aren't in dismal shape. The House actually fully funds our maintained buyback that we've talked about so much. And it does that by booking or assuming that the recreational fee bill passes. The toughest news for us, or one of the most disappointing news for us on that side of the ledge, is that that's a one-time fix again on the general fund. And so we've spent a lot of time briefing you since I've been here and long before I was here about our structural deficit, and that would continue. This would be what I always refer to as sort of the bridge funding approach. On the Senate side, the good news is they didn't do that. The bad news is they failed to fund most of our stuff. So we're working in between those two. The Senate does provide ongoing general fund, but it doesn't presume passage of our fee bill. So you add those two together, and it's some pretty devastating potential cuts for us. Senate doesn't provide our maintained hunting, doesn't provide some of our hatchery productions. I could go more detail if you'd like. Bottom line, it's the low water for us of the two budgets. We are working. We have the superstar of superstars over there in Raquel running around, working for us, whole staff, all deserve credit, but Raquel in particular. We've had great turnout from our constituency. Our budget advisory group are over there hitting up legislators. I saw our salmon advisory group members over there yesterday. So still hopeful that we have the support we need over there, but I'd give it a mediocre grade right now. But again, I'm usually not a real optimist, but I'm going to again be optimistic about this.
Mr. Baker.
When you suggest that we may have, I think you said, devastating cuts if we don't get all of at least the maintained budget, without going into extreme detail, can you let us know what you are letting legislators know that we may not be doing anymore?
Sure. And again, back to touting Raquel, she's doing a good job. Make sure each legislator knows what happens in their district if we don't get the funding that we need. This, again, the work we did on our zero-based budget over the last two years, has really been helpful. So we have fairly good priorities, clear priorities. What I hate to say is that the lower priorities fall off because we don't have any low priorities. They're low amongst all high. These are the lowest high priorities for us. But on the fishing side, we have five hatcheries that would, and I do not have the list of them, we have five hatcheries that potentially wouldn't be funded. We would end our early winter steelhead programs. We would our lake rehab, warm water fishery stuff would cease or decrease drastically. Skagit steelhead would stop. So some of our biggest, most, I think, influential and important fisheries would end. on the Senate side with no fee bill, we have no Columbia River Salmon and Steelhead endorsement. So there's a question just whether or not we can prosecute those fisheries or to what extent we can prosecute those fisheries. So that's the odd thing. Folks, they're upset at us for a number of reasons like they always are, but this would actually make us less able to deliver the things that they're upset at us for not having more of. I will stop now on that. On the hunting side, our master hunting program would go away. Our hunter education would be cut back drastically, which obviously affects our recruitment side of the house. We have money in the budget for improving hunting access. That goes away. And then some of our just more basic game management activities goes away as well, in primarily in the Senate budget. So that's the some detail, but not too much detail level of what's on the chopping block.
Mr. Thorburn.
What about conflict? The conflict staff effect of either of the budgets? Is there an impact there?
There is definitely an impact there, and it varies between the two budgets. And I honestly don't have the detail in numbers of FTEs, but definitely, I mean, that's it's one of our most important things, but it's fairly new, and so it's easy to hit the chopping block. We are pushing hard to increase conflict staff, actually, in the budget itself, but even outside the budget. There's some provisos out there, particularly on wolf management, that would increase our staff to give us a better, more responsive and more thorough response. At the same time, we're looking at cuts to conflict staff. So,
if I could just add, Chair, I'll sort of emphasize the point I think that Director made. It's another one of those things where, you know, we're getting pushback from constituents, and it's a situation that creates more harm in the remedy that they're calling for. So I thought you articulated that very well. It's hard to understand sometimes where the lobbying is coming from.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And these impacts that you're speaking of, are they the same impacts that were in the budget proposal that we saw as a commission last August, I think it was, when there was some zero-based budgeting exercise and the two $30 million packages mm-hmm. were described?
They are. They're a subset of that. As tweaked by the legislature. So some things funded, some not. But yes, they are. Everything I've mentioned is part of what we talked about there.
Anything else?
Just to put us on an even lower note, don't let me talk again. I just want to recognize that we did lose one of our former members.
Yeah.
Steve Thiesfeld passed away this week.
Sad day, very quality man. Very quality man.
North of Falcon, as contentious as it is, there was a long moment of silence and support for Steve for all the work he did there.
Thank you, Director. Appreciate it.
Well,